Thanks, Rolong. And I'd like to stress that I think that the strengths of UPR do significantly outweigh its weaknesses, but I'd like to give two examples of each. On strengths, firstly, I would say civil society participation at all stages of the UPR process. Your organisation has had a very big role to play in that, but this has really been central to giving the UPR legitimacy and relevance, and is also essential for ensuring follow-up to recommendations. So that's the first strength. The second is the way in which UPR has promoted a culture of constructive criticism. And I believe that it has created a greater acceptance that states can publicly call on each other to improve without this being seen as hostile or as negative. And that's an important cultural shift in the way that we work on human rights at the UN. On weaknesses, I'll give a couple of examples of that. Firstly, I'll refer to implementation, and your report picks up on this. But I do think that we have a number of structural problems, which mean that UPR was neither set up in a way nor has evolved yet in a way that best supports implementation of recommendations. This applies to those recommendations that states have said they support and genuinely do want to implement but lack the capacity to do so, as well as those which states say they support but choose not to do so for whatever reasons. And addressing this structural challenge is something which should be a priority for the third cycle, and there are some good ideas in the Butterfly Effect report. A second point of weakness that I'd like to refer to is the occasional attempts we see to undermine the system, either by encouraging states to water down recommendations after they've been made, or by encouraging others to make deliberately soft recommendations that they know that they can support. Now, thankfully, not very much of this goes on, but it has happened, and we should try to avoid this in the third cycle. Thanks.